Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday entitled Killing Sacred Cows. If you missed my program yesterday, it probably could use some explanation, but I just hadn't got time to go back and explain this little picture and my title, but it's really good. It's worth the effort. You know, you could go to our website and watch yesterday's program where I explained this, but what I'm referring to as a sacred cow are these doctrines, these religious doctrines that have become so, they've been repeated so often, and they are so pervasive that they keep God's word from working. For instance, you know, the scripture says that he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And yet, religious tradition, experiences, and things like this keep people from believing that because religion has come along and tried to deal with why doesn't every person seem to get healed? And so they've come up with this doctrine that, well, God sometimes makes you sick. It's his way of punishing you. Or maybe this is how God is working some redemptive purpose in your life, and on and on and on. All these religious doctrines, these sacred cows have been made, and it's been repeated so often that it's kept some people from believing the simple truth that God wants you well. And so, I'm trying to kill these sacred cows because, again, I use this verse in Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus said that you make the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. God's Word is powerful. God's Word will set you free. It can produce healing in your body, prosperity in your life, joy, peace, happiness, salvation. Anything that you need comes through God's Word, but religious traditions make the word of no effect. That is an amazing statement, and Jesus is the one that made that. And so we've got to kill these religious traditions, these sacred cows. And I have this brand new teaching out where I just go through and very quickly attack what I consider to be about five of the most dominant religious traditions that are voiding the word in most people's life. Now, of course, you can go into much greater detail than what I've done in this teaching because this is each teaching just attacks one of these sacred cows and deals with it, one of these religious doctrines, and then I go on to another. So I don't deal with it in great depth. But I found that it was very beneficial to just give this overview and to just point out these things, and it kind of really helped people that were at this meeting to just get an overview of what the major things were that were hindering people and stopping the Word of God from working in their life. And then, if you want more detail, you can go and get the complimentary teachings that go into greater detail on each one of these subjects. So I'm following that same line of thinking here on our television program. And yesterday I started dealing with what I considered to be the worst religious doctrine of them all, and that is this extreme sovereignty of God teaching that God controls every single thing that happens in your life. Let me take a passage of Scripture out of 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter here is writing about the end times and how that there were people that were saying that the second coming of the Lord isn't going to happen, that they'd been preaching that the Lord was coming back soon and it hadn't happened yet. And he said this, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. You know, boy, he's talking specifically about the people that denied the second return of the Lord, but you can apply that little phrase to a multitude of things. There are a lot of people today that are willingly ignorant of the facts. You know, I just recently did a teaching on our television program about Christian philosophy, and in the Christian philosophy part 2, I gave statistical facts that shared things against homosexuality and against abortion and against just so many of these things. And there are people today that are willingly ignorant of what the Word says. You know, since I've taught that series, I've had a number of emails of people writing me and saying that in their Sunday school class, in their church service, the pastor, just recently. I mean, this is not one or two. This was multiple people who contacted me that in their church within just the last few months, a Sunday school teacher or pastor got up and said that homosexuality is not a sin. God made people this way, and you just have to deal with it, and you have to learn to love these people. And I mean, they are supposed to be representing God, and just like this verse says, they are willingly ignorant of what the Word says. Man, you can't read the Bible and come up with that kind of a doctrine. You have to willingly be ignorant. You have to willingly deny some of the truth. And this is what Peter is talking about, that these people who denied that there was going to be a second coming, it says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." You know, this is old English, but it's talking about creation. And again, this is another area that people are willingly ignorant in. They choose to believe in evolution. They choose to believe that the earth is billions and billions of years old because it's a convenient theology. But it doesn't make sense. You know, I'm not going to go into great detail on this, but let me just say that if you were to look at it from a statistical standpoint, you know, when I went to college, the little bit of college I had, I was a math major, and one of the things I took was probability, the science of probability or the math of probability. And anything beyond 10 to the 10th power is statistically impossible. Now, I'm not sure that all of you understand that, but I mean, every time you take something, 10 to the second power is 10 times as impossible as 10 to the first power. And so every time you go up 10 times, and if you went anything to 10 to the 10th power, it is statistically impossible. And yet the chances of evolution taking place as, calculated by the mathematical sciences is something like 10 to the, 120 trillionth power. It is just unbelievable. The chances of an explosion taking place in the Boeing factory where they assemble 747 airplanes. If you dropped a bomb in there and all of these parts somehow or another because of the bomb got rearranged and assembled and made a perfect 747 plane that was able to fly and function and it was just perfect. The chances of that happening are billions of times more likely than evolution. The chances of an explosion taking place in a printing press, in a printing shop, and that putting all of the type together and it printing a Bible and binding the Bible and printing multiple Bibles and stacking them and having them all orderly stacked, the chances of an explosion causing a result like this are billions of times more likely than evolution. Now, if anybody believes that you can drop a bomb in a printing shop and cause a perfectly printed and stacked and collated editions of the Bible, if any of you believe that you can put a bomb into the Boeing factory and that would make all of the parts of a 747 come together and be assembled perfectly and it'd be able to fly and everything, if you believe those things, let me just say this respectfully, you are just stupid to the max. I don't know how to, we're talking about killing sacred cows. There's just no way. There's no easy way to say this. How dumb can you get and still breathe? If you think that dropping a bomb in a printing press is going to make a Bible be printed because all of the letters are there and the paper is there and the ink is there, and if you just give it the right conditions, they just all come together and print a perfect Bible with no mistakes in it. If you believe that, I got a bridge I'd love to sell you, amen. I mean, you are gullible to the max. And yet the chances of something like that happening are billions of times more likely than evolution. You know, I hadn't even got to the verse I was headed towards yet. But this is powerful. He's saying that this they willingly are ignorant of. They willingly ignore the fact that creation testifies to an intelligent design, not happenstance, not selective. I forgot all of the evolutionary terms. But anyway, It testifies that there is a God that created these things. It couldn't have happened accidentally. And it says people are willingly ignorant of this. And then it goes on down into verse 9. I'm just going to have to skip down there. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this ninth verse makes it very clear. Here's God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can't get it any clearer than this. Here is God's will. No one should perish. That is God's will. And yet, Jesus said that there would be more than enter by the broad gate unto destruction than by the narrow gate unto eternal life. And so Jesus said God's will is not coming to pass. Why? Because God doesn't force His will on us. He doesn't sovereignly control us and dictate whether you get saved or don't get saved. There are some people that believe that. There are segments of churches, I won't mention names because there's many of them, but there are sections of churches, sections of denominations that believe that you are either predestined to be saved or predestined to be damned, and you don't have any choice over it. God chooses who gets saved. God chooses who gets damned to hell, and that we have no choice in the thing. This verse completely kills that. It says it is not God's will for any person to perish. If you are perishing, you are doing so against God's will. You're doing so against all of the conviction that He's given you. There are some of you that tuned into this program today, and you probably don't agree with the thing I'm saying. You're probably thinking, man, this is weird. I can't believe somebody is on international television saying these things. You're probably just shocked, and you may not realize it, but you know what? God has supernaturally brought you across this program. God is trying to reveal the truth to you. He is saying it is not His will for you to perish. It is not His will for you to be sick. It is not His will for you to be suffering and struggling the way you are. God has a perfect plan for you, and Jesus died to produce the deliverance from the dominion of the devil so that you could experience His perfect plan, but He does not force it to come to pass in your life. You have to choose. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord was speaking through Moses, and He says, behold, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. He says, I give you the choice. You choose life or death. Now, this is really a pretty simple quiz. Amen. Life or death? That's a no-brainer. Man, you ought to choose life instead of death. Blessing or cursing? Again, a no-brainer. Who would want cursing over blessing? But just in case you're struggling with this quiz, He says, choose life. Amen. It's like saying, I'm going to give you a choice. Here's A, life, B, death. Here's another choice, A, blessing, or B, cursing. Which would you rather have? And then in parentheses, He says, A's the answer. Choose life. Amen. Choose to be blessed. But God gave you the choice. God is not making it for you. This doctrine that God controls everything, God is not the one who has made your life fail. God is not the one who has made you a homosexual, that has made you live in sin, that has made you bitter and angry. Man, there are lots of forces at work. They all ultimately come from sin and from the devil, but there is so much corruption in this world. There are people that are willingly cooperating with the devil. And there's more than enough people out there to ruin your life and to make your life miserable. Some of you have had terrible tragedy happen in your life. And then there's just some things that it's not even demonic. There are some things that are just natural. We have sickness and disease. We have germs. We have infections. We have things in the natural. We live in a fallen world. And things happen. So there are just natural things that happen in a fallen world that produce bad results. There are demonic forces at work. And then many of us, we can't even blame it on the devil or our circumstances. Many of us, like we're doing such a great job of destroying our own life that the devil could take a vacation. Amen. I mean, we're doing a great job of just making wrong choices. We have done all of the wrong things. But here's my point. God is not the one who has messed your life up. Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly is what it says in John chapter 10, verse 10. It's the thief, the devil, that came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has a good plan for you. Jesus is out to produce good, but there is evil in this world. And when people teach a wrong teaching about the sovereignty of God, an extreme interpretation of this, that God controls everything, it renders you passive. It makes you to, what's the point? Why seek God? Why study the Word? Why pray? Why try and build your faith? Because after all, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. It's just up to God. God's will automatically comes to pass. I've shown you through this verse that it doesn't. God said it's not His will that any person die and go to hell, and yet the majority of people are, because God does not force His will on you. He gave you a choice. You choose life or death, blessing or cursing. It's your choice. Satan cannot force that on you. No one can take this away from you. You are the one that makes the establishing choice. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Notice it says, submit to God, and then resist the devil. If God controlled everything, what would be the point in resisting the devil? Even if the devil was the one who was doing something to you, if you swallow this wrong doctrine that the devil can't do anything unless God allows it, God has to permit it. In a sense, Satan is like a dog on a leash, and God only gives him so much slack, and he couldn't even get to you if God didn't permit it and allow it. That's what religion is teaching. If you really believe that, well, then what's the point in resisting? Because after all, God is the one who allowed the devil to do this to you. That's wrong. And if you are going to be consistent with your belief, if you really believe that God does everything to you for a purpose, whether He wants it or He allows it, God ultimately is the source of every negative thing. If you really believe that, then it's inconsistent for you to go take medicine or go to the doctor or have surgery and try and get over a sickness, because you couldn't have it if God didn't allow it and want it for some purpose. And so actually, you are inconsistent. You're hypocritical to say that God caused this, God allowed it, and then you go and try and get out of God's will by taking medicine or going to the doctor. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. I'm saying that that is inconsistent with this theology that God allows everything. If God really allowed it, then you're supposed to submit yourselves unto God, James 4, 7. And why are you resisting? Why are you trying to get out of it? If God controls everything, why are you trying to make more money? Why are you trying to live a better life? Why are you trying to get more things? Why don't you just be content with being poor? Why don't you just go live on the street? Why would you try and get off of the street and into a house and become a responsible person? Because you couldn't be a bum if God didn't will for you to be that way. And on this logic goes. There are people that say God's the one that controls everything, so that makes God responsible for all rape. That makes God the one who's caused this, because after all, it couldn't happen if God didn't will it. God's the one that must allow all of the demon possession and all of the demonic things and the way our world is going. God must be in charge of it. God is in control. No, God has a plan. And His plan is eventually going to take, is going to work, because God is superior to the devil and to everything that's coming against Him. And so the Lord is eventually, things are going to work out the way He said that they would. In the end result, God is going to win, the devil is going to lose, God is going to come back and establish His kingdom. But in between now and then, He gave us a choice. And we are the ones that through doctrines like this sovereignty of God, we have become so passive that we won't resist the devil. And so we, by default, are just allowing the devil to run roughshod over us. There are people that are allowing sickness, disease, poverty, heartache, pain, suffering in their life that God never intended, but they are praying and begging God to take it away, but they aren't taking their authority. They aren't speaking with authority and standing and resisting the devil. They are completely coming to the Lord as, "Oh God, I'm just powerless. Would you please do something?" And this doctrine that God controls everything, and so therefore if you've got a problem, God must be punishing you, or God is withdrawn from you because you aren't good enough, holy enough, or whatever, and this must be God's will. That doctrine is killing many people. I mean physically killing them, emotionally killing them. It's killing relationships. It's rendering people powerless, inactive. I actually had a good friend of mine recently. We were talking about some of the things happening in the world and the way that, man, we can see the stage being set for the Antichrist and things like this. Things that were prophesied in the Bible that I thought, how would the nations ever, ever submit to something like this? I can now begin to see how it's happening. I mean, there are people that are Kool-Aid drinkers. They are just following in the steps of some of these politicians and buying into their lies. And I can see that if we take these steps, then the next steps are going to be easier. Anyway, we were talking about this with my good friend, and this person basically just said, well, this is all prophesied in Scripture. I don't guess there's anything we can do about it. And see, again, that's that fatalistic attitude. I do believe that the Antichrist is going to come and that those things we were talking about is going to happen. But I tell you, I do not believe that Christians ought to be submitted to it. They shouldn't have a fatalistic approach that we are just going to sit by and let the world go down the drain, because after all, that's what the Bible prophesies in the end times. I think that we ought to use all of our influence, all of our godliness that we possibly can to stand against evil and fight it, even if it costs us. And I tell you, I'm not just saying this. You know, recently I've had some of my programs pulled in the UK because of things that I've said. And they say it's against the law, and there's a possibility I may not even be allowed into the UK. I don't know. I'll let you know about that as things come to pass. But I tell you, it's now getting to where you can't speak the truth. It's politically incorrect to speak the truth in some nations. It's getting worse and worse here in the United States. And it may cost you something. And I'm just telling you that we need to stand against this stuff. You don't need to have this fatalistic sovereignty of God attitude that, well, whatever will be, will be. And these things couldn't have happened if it wasn't God's will. We are in a battle. There is good and evil fighting in this world. And you're the one that has the deciding vote in your life. And if enough of us band together, then we can cast a vote that will actually influence maybe our politics and our nation and our world. But individually, you have the choice. God does not choose for you. God doesn't sovereignly make your life go a certain direction. You have multiple choices. Today, you've got a choice. Are you going to receive this truth that I'm talking about? Are you going to begin to start responding to God and doing what His Word says and taking control and resisting the devil and seeing him flee from you? Or are you just going to passively sit back and just continue to let the devil run over you? Because after all, whatever God wants comes to pass. That is a sacred cow. That is a religious doctrine that needs to be put to death. I don't know how I can say it stronger than what I've been saying yesterday and today. But it will just make the Word of God of none effect in your life if you believe that God is controlling every single thing that happens. You need to get over that. It is not the truth. You know, I have this new product entitled Killing Sacred Cows. We not only have it in CD format, but I have a live DVD that was taped at one of my Gospel Truth seminars. And then we have the live DVD that is taken from television. And then we also have this companion teaching that goes along with this entitled The Word Became Flesh. And that goes into much more detail on this subject against the sovereignty of God and taking your responsibility and talking about these things. So we've got a lot of material. I encourage you to listen and then respond as our announcer gives you this information.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get a DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1063C for the CD, T3207D for the live DVD, or T1063D for the as seen on TV DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first teaching in the Killing Sacred Cows series titled God is Good, God is Faithful is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK157C.
Let me once again remind you that we not only have this product on killing sacred cows, which was taped at a Gospel Truth seminar. We have CD version of that. We have a DVD version that was made from the Gospel Truth seminar. And then you can actually get these programs that you're watching on television, as seen on TV, a DVD set of that. And then along with that, I'm offering this companion teaching that I've entitled, The Word Became Flesh. And this was also a teaching from a Gospel Truth seminar. My wife said this is her favorite teaching. She thought this was the best teaching I've ever done, is this teaching on the Word Became Flesh. And it'll go into greater detail about what I've talked about yesterday and today. Today's my last day to offer you this first teaching in our series on killing sacred cows. So listen and respond today.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1057C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. Write us, use the address on your screen. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room. And they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.